the second book of Kings and reading in the fifth chapter. We'll commence our reading at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have herewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And that will suffice for our reading, and we know God will add his blessing to the public reading of his own good word. This beautiful story that we have read in 2 Kings chapter 5 of Naaman the leper, and how he found cleansing from the defilement of leprosy, I think is just a beautiful Old Testament illustration of how the sinner can find cleansing from the defilement of his sin. You know, as we read through our Bible, and we read about the subject of leprosy, we never read of leprosy as a disease, but we ever read about it as a defilement. You know, we do not read in our Bible about the curing of the leper. But I'm glad to tell you this evening that there are chapters in our Bible devoted with the subject of the cleansing of the leper. There is cleansing from defilement. My dear friend, that's what I would like to speak about tonight, as God would give help in this gospel meeting. I would like just to speak to you for a few moments about cleansing from the defilement of sin. You say to me in this meeting, is there an answer to the defilement of my sin? I want to quote tonight, and I would like to re-quote throughout this meeting, those lovely words of John in 1 John 1 and verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it cleanseth from all sin. There is an answer, dear friend, to the defilement of your sin. Precious atoning blood has been shed at Calvary. My, we sing at times, and rightly so, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Thankfully tonight I can say, shed for me. I'd like to consider with you tonight four things about this man called Naaman. And the first thing I want to consider with you is found in the opening verse. I want you to notice, first of all, that there was a but in his life. Oh, there were many commendable features about him. The Spirit of God has listed them for us in the opening verse. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also, on top of these other things, he was also a mighty man in valor. Oh, what a list of commendable features. But my dear friend, there was a but in his life. But he was a leper. He was defiled. I want to say tonight in this gospel meeting that there is a but in your life, and there is a but in my life, and it is that but of defilement. Listen to the words of Isaiah 64 and verse 6. God says, but, oh, and what a but it is, but we are all, every one without exception, not a one left out in this room. There are no exempt clauses. God says, but we are all as an unclean thing. We are just like the leper. And all our righteousness, all the very best we can manufacture, is just in the sight of God as filthy rags. I tell you, dear friend, that is not a very palatable picture. That is not a very pleasing picture. But oh, that someone in this gospel meeting might learn it perhaps for the very first time. That just as in the life of Naaman, so there is in your life. There is a solemn, there is a sad but. It is the but of defilement. Every one of us have been defiled because of sin. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You know, the man that wrote those words learnt it for himself. He learnt it in chapter 6 of that prophet. Oh, what a day it was in the experience of Isaiah, when he got a glimpse of the holiness of the God upon the throne, and got a look at himself in his own sinfulness, in the presence of a holy, righteous God. And I hear him cry, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm nothing better than a leper. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There was the butt of defilement. But I thought as well of another text, another verse in the prophecy of Isaiah. I thought of Isaiah 59 and 2. There we have not only the butt of defilement, but the butt of distance. God says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Not only does sin defile the individual, but sin brings a distance between the individual and God. Did not our first parents in Eden's garden have to learn that? Oh, what a solemn lesson in the opening pages of our Bible. I see them placed in that lovely garden, knowing the delight and the fellowship of God. But sin entered that first scene. I think of Adam. Oh, I know Eve was deceived. But Adam, knowing the full consequence of what he was doing, took that forbidden fruit. Sin entered into that garden. And it has affected the whole human family from then till now. As by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. And death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There was a distance of sin. That fellowship was broken. The end of that chapter, I read those solemn words, so God drove out the man. Poet penned those words. He said, when sin first raised its deadly head, it caused a lightning span between the man that walked with God and God that made the man. With sense of sin brought sense of shame. The naked sought to hide. Instead of fellowship with God, there came that great divide. Infinite love was wounded sore and sought to bridge the span. Crush out that separating wedge and walk again with man. He sent his son. Oh, the wonder of that. He sent his son, his well-beloved. He came, he bled, he died. To reconcile, he paid the price and bridge that great divide. Oh, dear friend, I want to tell you tonight, there is an answer to the distance of sin. Oh, to think of the work of Christ. Oh, to understand in a meeting tonight the love of God in the giving of his son. Oh, the wonder of that. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God in mercy sent his son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. It was for sinners. Jesus died. And on the grounds of the work of Calvary, on the grounds of precious atoning blood that was shed, there is a way back for the guilty sinner. Don't we love to quote those words? There's a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there's a door that is open and you may go in. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, what a meeting this would be tonight if someone like Naaman just learned there is a butt in my life. There is a black butt. I tell you, it was a hard pill for me to swallow. Brought up in a godly home. Brought up in a home where I had parents to pray for me. Brought up in an environment where the word of God was respected. Where I'd learned so many verses and lovely gospel texts. I tell you, it was hard for me to accept that there was a butt in my life. That I was just a sinner going down to hell in my sins. Oh, that someone could understand it tonight. There is an awful
full of defilement. My dear friend, if your sin is not forgiven, it will take you down and down to the eternal burning. Oh, we would tell you tonight, we would plead with you in this meeting. Flee from the wrath to come and flee to Christ. There is provision in the precious blood that he shed upon the tree.
A but in his life. I notice secondly, there was a longing in his soul. He longed that defilement might be cleansed. You know, he didn't hide it. He didn't try to cover it over. He didn't try to run away from it. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth his sin will find mercy. The deep longing down in his soul that defilement might be cleansed. You know, he heard of cleansing from a rather unusual source. His armies had taken captive a little maid out of the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And it seemed to be common knowledge in the home that Naaman was a leper. That's why I said he didn't hide it. It was known in the home that the man was defiled. And when that little maid knew about it, my, she had a message to deliver. She says, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy. You know, I was impressed with two things about this little maid. I was impressed, first of all, about her concern. She had a concern for her master. She had a concern about his condition. Puts every believer to shame in this room, myself included. Oh, that I had a measure of concern like this little maid for those that are still defiled. I noticed not only her concern, but I noticed her confidence. My, what a preacher she was in her own respective sphere. She says, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover. You notice there's no ifs, there's no maybes, there's no buts about it. He would recover of his leprosy. I say again, she puts me to shame. You know, the Savior tells us in Luke chapter 4, that there never had been a leper cleansed. This little maid had never seen a leper cleansed in her life. There were many lepers in the days of Elisha the prophet, but none was cleansed, save Naaman. Sorry. She had never seen it happen before, but she knew that if Naaman, in all his need, would get to the man of God, there would be a message for him. With what confidence I should preach tonight. I have known cleansing in my own experience. As a boy of 11, when I trusted Christ as Savior, I knew the value and power of the blood of Christ. We have seen that transforming power in the lives of men. I say, with what confidence I should preach tonight. He that believeth on the Son hath here and now everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, when Naaman heard about that, down deep in his heart there was a longing that he might know the reality of it. I wonder if there's someone in this meeting tonight, and the longing of your soul is a longing, the longing of a Naaman. You would just love to know that guilty past blotted out. You would just love to know cleansing from sin and experience the pardon of God. Could I quote that text again? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, it cleanses from all sin. I noticed that the message had reached the ears of the king of Syria. And of course he has his own idea of how Naaman, his servant, will be cleansed. He's just a natural man. He knows nothing about divine remedy for sin or for defilement. How confused he is. How confused is a natural man as far as cleansing from sin is concerned? If I went out of the hall tonight and spoke to a dozen men in the streets of Lurgan and said to them, now tell me, how can the guilty past be blotted out? How can I know pardon with God? How can I know my sins forgiven? I suppose I might get 12 answers to the question. I want none in this meeting tonight to be confused. You know, the king of Syria was confused regarding the person through whom Naaman could be cleansed. And he sends him away to the king of Israel. I want none to be confused in this meeting tonight. There is cleansing to be found. And there is cleansing to be found in one alone. That lovely man who tonight bears the marks of Calvary upon his blessed person. That man that one day was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. Who wore that cruel crown of thorns upon his lovely brow. That allowed men to spike him by the hands and feet to Golgotha's tree. Ah, we would tell you tonight in the language of Paul, in Acts 13 and verse 38, through this man, and through this man alone, preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, oh what a message, by him, all that believe, are justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. You know, Peter's in happy accord with Paul. Said in Acts 4 and 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You know, the Lord Jesus said in John 10 and 9, he says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. We used to sing in a Sunday school class, there's one door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Oh, to know Christ as Savior. Dear friend, I want to say tenderly and kindly in this meeting tonight, if you're going to miss Christ, you're going to miss heaven. You ever thought of that? Have you ever thought of that solemn possibility of missing Christ as a Savior? Not only to miss heaven, but to go out into eternal night, to weep and wail and gnash your teeth, without a hope forever,
Oh, dear friend, I implore you tonight, get to Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
You know, not only was this man, the king of Syria, confused regarding the person through whom Naaman might be cleansed, but you'll notice in the passage that he was most confused regarding the price.
Oh, the natural man thinks, if a man is going to be cleansed from defilement, there must be a cost involved.
Ah, dear friend, there was a cost involved. Remember, the forgiveness of sins is the costliest thing in the universe.
What we are preaching about tonight is the costliest thing in the world. It has cost God everything. Having that for one son, his well beloved, he said, I will send my son. Surely they will reverence my son. But what did they do? They took him outside Jerusalem city walls and spiked him by the hands and feet to the tree. Lifted up was he to die.
What a sight for sinners to see. The Son of God. Says Paul, the Son of God who loved me.
Oh, the wonder of that. He loved me.
He gave himself. He could give no more, dear friend. He gave himself for me. That'll be a wonder to my soul for eternity.
That the Savior would ever love me. Set his love upon a guilty sinner such as me. Love me so much as to die for me in the tree. And shed his precious, precious blood.
Love me. He gave himself for me. Poet said, under an eastern sky, amid a rabble cry, a man went forth to die for me. Thorn crowned his blessed head, blood stained his every tread. Cross laden on his spear. For me. Pierced his hands and feet. Enduring the noonday heat. God's wrath on him to keep. Dear sinner friend, that you could understand it tonight.
God's wrath on him did me. On his own sinless, faultless, flawless son.
God's wrath on him did me. For me. What a marvel. For me. Oh, that you could take it in, dear. It was for me. As if there was not another sinner in the world. It was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I shout and sing. Died for me, my Lord and King. What a price was paid. It has cost God everything to provide it.
It has cost the Savior everything to provide it. Don't treat it lightly, dear friend.
Yet it's offered in this meeting tonight. On the easiest, simplest, possible terms. Without money. And without price.
God is too rich to sell. And you're too poor to buy. Oh, to learn that you're a bankrupt sinner.
I see Haman laid him down with presents and gifts. He has to learn it's without money. and without price. You know, Joseph's brethren had to learn that in the book of Genesis. In all their need, you know.
Oh, they're coming to get bread in a time of famine. But what are they coming with? They're coming with money in their hand.
Joseph teaches them, for he puts the money back in their sack.
And even though they bring double money, they have to learn the lesson that the provision of Joseph is without money and without price.
Well, might we read in that lovely gospel prophecy, Isaiah 55 and 1,
whoever he one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters.
He that hath no money,
come ye buy and eat.
Ye come by wine and that, without money, and without price. You know, when eventually Naaman arrives at the house of the king, the palace of the king of Israel, and when that king reads the letter, he rends his clothes, and when he might, he says, am I God to kill and to make alive? He says, it's only God can do a thing like this. It's only God that can cleanse a man from defilement. That is true, you know. God can and God will meet your need if you'll come to it in true repentance and faith in his Son. The king of Israel, he rends his clothes. You know, when Elisha hears that, he sends a message. He says, let him come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. And eventually, Naaman arrives with all his host. He arrives at the door of the man of God, Elisha. I noticed that Elisha sends a message out to him. You know, I was impressed with that Elisha didn't come out to meet Naaman. But he just sends a simple message to him. Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come unto thee again, and thou shalt be saved. Why did he not come out to meet him? The Naaman thought he would. I think for this reason, that Elisha wants to remind Naaman that the power was not in the messenger. The power was in the message. I want to remind every heart of that tonight. We're only the vessel. We're only the channel tonight. But the power does not lie in the messenger. But I'm glad to tell you, the power lies in the message we preach. You say, what is it? Could I quote it again? Could I breathe it into your ear again tonight? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanses from all sin. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But I notice now, not only has Naaman a longing in his soul, but he does long to be cleansed. I notice now he has a doubt in his mind. As he stands outside that door, he says, I thought. What do you think? He says, I thought he would come out. Oh, I thought he would come out and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Maybe I'm talking to a heart tonight in this meeting. Oh yes, you know there is a butt in your life, the butt of defilement. There might even be that longing in your soul that you might be cleansed. But as you sit in this gospel meeting, there's a doubt in your mind. Maybe like a Naaman, you're waiting for something spectacular to happen. Something amazing to be revealed unto you. I thought.
I thought.
Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you say, well, you know, I thought I could be cleansed if I went to my place of worship, if I said my prayers, if I lived a respectable life. Surely that would be enough. I only quote one verse, I could quote many. I quote the words of Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight and you say, well, I thought, you know, have I turned over a new leaf? I know things are not right. I would love to do better. But maybe if tonight I turned over a new leaf, if I made a fresh start, would that not do? My dear friend, my Bible tells me God requireth that which is past. Am I speaking to someone tonight? And you have a doubt in your mind? Maybe waiting and longing for something big to happen? Oh, that's what Naaman was looking for. He wanted something spectacular to happen. I thought he would come out. I thought he would call upon the name of the Lord as God. Strike his hand over the place. And cover the left. You know, I sat in gospel meetings week by week with a longing to be saved. Thinking that sometime in one of the meetings, something would happen to me that hadn't happened before. Something would be revealed to me that I'd never seen before. I had to learn when I came to the end of myself that it wasn't anything like that at all. But it was simple faith in the work of Christ and the work of Christ alone. So I see Naaman leaving. Going down the road, it says he went away in a rage. Didn't like the message he heard. Far too simple. He wanted something complicated. I spoke to a lady a few weeks ago, a few months ago. She waited behind after a gospel meeting. Told me she'd like to be saved. I said, well, you've listened to the message for a few times now. What's your difficulty? Oh, she says, I want to do something. I said to her, well, what would you like to do? Oh, she said, I don't know, but I want to do something. She lived about a mile away from the hall. I said to her, if I told you tonight that you were to go home on your hands and knees, would you do that? If that would bring cleansing? She said, certainly I would. But I know that would be no use. I said to her, if I could show you to pay £1,000, you would be forgiven. Would you pay it? She said, I don't have it, but I'd work to till I did. Told her as best I knew how of a work that was already done, that the Savior had said upon the tree, it is finished. I told her of a price that was already paid, a burden that was already borne. I'd like to do that again tonight. Christ died for our sins. According to the scripture, he was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was saved. So Naaman goes off with a rage, in a rage. But you know, his servants followed him, good servants. I trust he gave them a rising pay when he got them home, but they well deserved it, you know. They went after him and they pleaded with him. They said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it?
How much rather when he said unto thee, wash
and be clean.
Oh, what sound advice! You know, Naaman thought he would have some big thing to do.
But the message was the essence of simplicity.
Wash and be clean.
The message tonight is this. Look and live.
Look unto me is the words of Isaiah 45 and 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else.
We love to sing that old-fashioned hymn, there's life for a look at the crucified one.
There is life at this moment for thee.
Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed to the tree. Oh, that someone in all their need tonight
might look away from themselves and look at God's provision in the work of Calvary.
You would see it, Spurgeon was saved through that lovely text I'm only after quoting. In telling the story of his conversion, he oftentimes would put it like this. He said, I looked at him. He looked at me, and we were one forever. Oh, that could be true of our heart tonight. I trust there's no doubt in your mind any longer. I noticed Naaman, there was a willingness in his heart. Thank God for that. It says, then went he down. Oh, what a humbling thing. You know, it was humbling for him to hear a message from a slave girl.
It was a humbling thing for him to go to a foe's land for cleansing. But he needed to be humbled further. It's a humbling thing to get to Christ. But what a blessed thing it is. Oh, that someone would take that humble place tonight. That I took my place as sinner. And at Jesus' footstool lay. Jesus took his place as Savior and washed all my sins away. Then went he down, according to the saying of the man of God.
What happened? His flesh came like the flesh of a little child. Just as if he was born again, you know. Not that the spots began to remove.
Not that he began to recover. Oh no, his flesh came like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Clean every bit.
Could leave the meeting clean. You could leave the meeting cleansed. There's been a fountain opened for sin and for unclean. Christ's blood has been shed. And God is satisfied. God is satisfied in the death of his Son. For the grounds of the work of Christ, he can pardon the believing sinner. I notice this and I say it as I close. I notice Naaman went back to Elisha. Stood again at the door. What does he say now? You know, the first time he was there, he said, I thought. I had my own ideas. When he goes back again, he says, now, I know. Good if you left the meeting like that tonight. Able to shake my hand on the way going out. And say, now, I know. I had my own thoughts about it when I come in. But now I know. It was a poor sinner, I rest upon the blood of Christ. And rest upon the promise of the word of God. I can leave the meeting, cleanse, forgive it. and fitted for glory. May that be your experience. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we bow before Thee, and we do so in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for every blessing that we have enjoyed from Thy bountiful hand throughout this day. And now at the close of the day, we thank Thee for the privilege of preaching again the message of the gospel, of telling sinners of their need, and telling again of the remedy and the person and the work of Thy blessed Son. And we would long, our Father, the longing of our soul and the longing of many would be that someone tonight would come to know Thy Son personally as their Savior. Bless Thy word, we do pray. We know that it is able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We have read it. We have quoted it. We believe in fellowship with Thyself, and pray that Thy Holy Spirit would use it for the glory of Christ and for the salvation of precious souls. We ask this as we commit ourselves to Thee and commit the whole gathering to Thee in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.